question was asked, what's a yeshiva doing to spread its light outward? And I want to answer you with a story, okay? About 19 years ago, I came to Israel to learn Torah. And when I left, I said to myself, there are a lot of changes that have to happen in the American education system. And I thought that, like, people don't speak or understand Hebrew. They don't learn or understand Tanakh. And I thought that my mission in life was to maybe teach Tanakh and maybe develop a yeshiva where people would learn a high level of Torah and also understand Hebrew. So I left here with that mission in mind. And before I left, I went to a few of my rabbeim. I went to many rabbis, and I asked them if they agree with my vision. And I also went to a few of my personal teachers, and I asked them. And one of them said to me a line like this. He said to me, if you want to affect any change, you stay in yeshiva for 10 years and don't stick your nose out the window. After you've spent 10 years learning Torah and yeshiva, then you could go out and you'll be able to teach. And I said, thank you very much, Rabbi. Did not accept his advice and left. And 4 months later, I got a job in a yeshiva that was struggling as assistant principal. And I was teaching there, and they allowed me to implement my vision as best as I could because they had nothing to lose. The yeshiva was struggling, and the principal wanted out, and he had no one to take his place. So he allowed me, and I remember when I met with the CEO of the institution, said to me, do whatever you want, just be careful with one thing, don't kiss the kids, don't touch the kids. That was like his one rule. He said, one thing, everything else, we trust you. Okay, fine. So I had free rein, right? And it's not so simple to do it. Not simple at all. So the first year I spent teaching and learning and understanding what was going on. And I took a class that no one wanted to teach. They were on the verge of kicking them out of the school because no teacher wanted to touch them. And I said, so long as you guys don't get in my way, I'll deal with them. But you got to let me do what I think is right. And we reached a point where these guys took a test every week, and they could take a test on Parshat Ki Teitzeh. Next week we're going to meet Parshat Ki Teitzeh. That is the parsha that has the most mitzvot in the Torah. And they knew the parsha. I told them that every child that scores above a 95 on that test will come out on a trip with us. And they knew the parsha so well, they knew it with all the commentaries. Their test included Rashi, Ramban, Chizkuni, Seforno, Rashbam, and they all got above a 95. Okay, so we reached tremendous success, I thought. So I thought. It was the end of the year, and we were a month and a half before the end of the school year. They were already accepted into high schools, and that was another big success. I thought we got them into good high schools. And you're talking about a class that begins with no teacher wanting to touch them, and by the end of the year, they're in decent high schools. And then a parent calls me up. It came to their attention that the children had done things that were very, very improper on Sunday afternoon when they were off from school. And I was in such shock, I said to myself, so Sunday morning they take a test on the parsha and they know the Torah cold. That section they needed to know, they knew cold. Sunday afternoon, they could take that same knowledge and go and do things that are so inappropriate. I said to myself, then the Torah is only theoretical. Then everything I taught them was information. If I didn't touch their hearts, if they could do that, I said, then everything I've done is worthless. I felt like the whole year was down the tubes. And I was so destroyed. I felt like I saw no purpose in coming back and teaching the class. I said, that's so antithetical to everything we learned. Then what are we doing here? We're just talking theory. It's just knowledge. And the parents called me in for a meeting, and I made up with the parents. I said, they didn't do this during school hours. So I can't punish them for stuff which they did in your houses. You know, that's not my domain. But I'm willing to work with you as parents to build a program in which they can start to think about what they did wrong and how they should make amends. And all the parents said yes and didn't follow through on anything.
What age are you talking about?
12, 13 years old. And they didn't follow through. None of the parents followed through. They all said yes, but did no. And so we reached the final 2 weeks of the school year. And I'll skip the story about a student slashing a teacher's tires, and I'll skip a few other juicy stories. A student inviting me to meet him at a park, at a local park at night, with a specific intent to beat the daylights out of me. I'll leave those stories out for a minute. They are interesting stories, but we'll leave that for now. That wasn't one of my students. That was a student of another class, but I was assistant principal. We'll leave those stories out for 1 minute, but I come to fill out the report cards. And I decided that after such behavior, so I will not penalize them. I won't give them less than they deserve, but I will be exactingly just with them and give them exactly the grade they deserve. I won't give them an iota beyond that. I'll be exact. I said, you know what? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And sitting right next to me in Beis Medrash was a man who introduced himself as Avi. So I spoke to Avi for 2 months on a first name basis, and I saw people used to ask him questions. And I went to this fellow named Avi, and I said, you know, I need a place to stay. And he said, someone donated an apartment. You could come look at it during lunch break. You can sleep there, or the rest of us sleep there. So fine. I went with Avi to see the apartment. Seemed decent. What did I know? It was a bed. It was a roof. I took the apartment. Fine. After 2 months, this fellow named Avi hands me a wedding invitation. I look at the invitation. I say, Mazel Tov, you got engaged? He says to me, now we were sleeping in the same apartment all week, right? He says, no, it's my daughter's wedding invitation. So I look at the invitation. I look at Avi. And I say, come on, you're kidding. He says, look at the name of the chassan. It's not me. Look at the invitation. You'll see above the kala's name is me. So I said, are you divorced? He said, no. And then I started learning that Avi was really the head of the kollel. And Avi would leave his house Sunday morning and learn all week through Thursday. We'd sit for dinner, and he'd sit with a sefer eating. He'd learn, eat as he was learning. The man learned nonstop. But when I came and I asked him questions, he'd answer me. And when he introduced himself as Avi. I had no clue that the man finished Shas twice, three times a year. I had no clue what a big Talmid Chacham he was. I didn't know that the apartment was his. He was donating it for anyone who wanted to come learn Torah and Yeshiva. And any time I had a question, I used to have a day camp at that time. So I heard that he had bought goats for his kids. I asked him, can you tell me about goats? He closes his Gemara. He says, what do you want to know about goats? For 3 hours, you know, I don't know, I'm exaggerating, not 3 hours, for as long as I needed to know how you raise goats, he sat there and spoke to me about goats like there was nothing more important in his life. Now imagine, the guy left his family all week. He'd only see them Friday, Shabbos, you know, Sunday morning, to learn Torah. But when I want to know about goats, he's talking to me about goats like there's nothing more important in the world, because a Jew is asking me about goats, so I'll answer him about goats. So he sat there and spoke to me. Now, mind you, for 2 months, I'm calling him Avi. When we have arguments at night, he'd say his, I'd say mine, and I'd say, okay, you know, like, what do you know? I didn't realize what he knew, right? You know, I'm this teenager. What do I know? But I had no clue, okay? So fortunately for me, by that time, I already knew Avi wasn't Avi. He was a rabbi. He was the head of the kollel. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He is. Yeah, he's still with us, Baruch Hashem. And I'm about to get to fill in the grades for the report cards, and I turn to him and I say, can I ask you what you think? And I tell him the story. And he says, you know, you're their teacher, you do what you think, but I'll tell you what I think. He said, I think that you should give every student the grade that's at least 5 points higher than what they deserve. I said, why? He said, because your grade means nothing. They're all accepted to high school. The only meaning of that grade is how will they feel you connect to them. If they leave your class and you give them a feeling, I believe in you, you're worthwhile, then they'll have to live up to that feeling. If they leave the class and you give them, oh, you went the line with them, then they will leave the class and you'll leave them with that bitter taste, you got your revenge, but you'll have no connection with them and they won't have to live up to you afterwards. I took his advice.
And they won't trust the teachers in this
class. I gave them each at least 5 points higher. I gave them each a letter telling them what a wonderful year it was. For 2 years after that, every Shabbos, they would clamber into yeshiva to learn on their free time. Wow. They would come in to learn. A year ago, I get a phone call from a kid. Now, you have to understand who this kid was. This is a kid whose parents I called into the yeshiva, and I told them, you know, the stores around here are telling me he's shoplifting. You have to talk to him. And I got nowhere. The parents would lie to me. He would lie to me. Until one time I gave up. I called in the parents and I said, I'm not talking to you educationally. I want to give you financial planning. I want you to start saving money. So they said, why should we save money? I said, because soon you're going to have to post bail. I said, it's only a matter of another few days or weeks you're going to have to post bail. So save money. I figured maybe I'd shock them into doing something, right? So, what? They were 13 years old. 13-year-olds. But the kid was shoplifting. You remember this story, right? No, they were 13.
This is all connected back to
that. To his question, I'll get to his question in 1 second. This student a year ago calls me. He still remembers me. And I gave him a letter. So he looked up my name. 18 years have passed since then. Okay? 18 years. So the guy right now is 31. And he calls me up a year ago and he says, I'm making Aliyah, I want your advice where I should live. 18 years have passed. Now, you asked me, when a person's in yeshiva learning, what impact does he have on the world? So I have to tell you that when I saw what Avi did, I worked the whole year teaching the class. And I would have made the wrong decision and destroyed the whole year's work. I was about to make the wrong decision. And because of his advice, because of 5 minutes of conversation, we changed the lives of all those students. I can tell you one of those students committed suicide. He is one of the people who jumped off the Empire State Building.
Wow.
But you should know that before he committed suicide, he called me in Israel 3 times. Okay? So I couldn't change his life. I was one of the people who he called. I tried helping him, and there's only so much you could do long distance. I tried getting him to therapy. I tried getting him, but look at what an impact. A decade passed, and he's calling me to Israel. I didn't give him my number in Israel, but he called. He found it. So Avi's learning all year in yeshiva. Avi leaves his wife and family to learn day and night. And with his 5 minutes of advice, he changed the impact I had on their lives. I would have destroyed a year's worth of work. He made it into a success. Him, not me. When I saw that, when I saw how much his wisdom from Torah changed my life, that's when I stopped my work as assistant principal and flew back to Israel and started learning all over again. I realized that what the rabbi had told me before I left yeshiva, when he told me, if you want to affect Am Yisrael, you better learn and not stop learning so that the Torah becomes a part of you. Then you can affect people. I realized how right he was. So when I left, I said to myself, that's a great theory, but I'm going to go really do stuff. Then I saw how I would have destroyed what I was doing if not for the people who were learning in Beis Medrash. So the idea is that when a person's learning in Beis Medrash, the Torah is supposed to become a part of them. When the Torah is a part of them, they're supposed to affect others. It's like a pyramid effect. So then, even though he might not be the one teaching the class, but he's teaching the one teaching the class. You know, you guys ask me questions. I don't always know the answers. Who do I go to? So I go to Rav Nevenzel, who's teaching here, right? A lot of your questions went to him. I have notebooks, whole notebooks, filled with questions I asked him. So he never spoke to you, but through me he spoke to you. I learned by Rav Pesin Zatzal. A lot of what you hear from me, even in Jewish philosophy, I learned from him. He never met you, but I have a whole section on my website dedicated to him, because his impact, when you guys talk to me and you hear answers, that's him. You know, how many years ago? 20 years ago. I had questions that I was asking and no one was answering me. And one night I went into Rav Pesin's shiur, and after shiur I said, can I ask you a question? So he said, yeah. And for the next 3 hours, till midnight, shiur ended like 9-ish, and until midnight, I asked questions, and he brought out sfarim and showed me answers. Every question I had, questions in Jewish philosophy, questions in halacha, he fired back at me, and he was the first person I met who could show me and prove to me logical answers to the philosophical questions I always had. And in 3 hours, he answered every question I had for years. For years. Okay, changed my life. Until that meeting, I didn't know if I'd be observant or not. Until that meeting, I had spent from about age 9 till about age 18 questioning whether I'd stay observant or not, because I kept asking questions. No one knew the answers. And in 3 hours, he gave me all the answers. I continued learning by him for another 6 years. I kept with him until he passed away. So did he impact? He impacted all of you. I wouldn't be at Mechon Mir. I don't know if I'd be observant today. But he was learning all day. He wasn't so. So the impact, the ripple effect, that's the idea that the Torah is supposed to change people's lives. But it's one. There are a few other concepts. I'm illustrating one point. There are a few more. I'm not touching on them right now. But there is concept number one, where the Torah trickles down. You know, you ask me, I ask my teachers, they ask their teachers. But then the higher up you get in the pyramid, the more your impact is felt. So that's one answer. I'll just touch on another answer, which we can't develop right now. I don't want to stay on one topic. And that is a concept that we believe that there's a ripple effect in the spiritual realm. That when you do what's right, you're affecting the world, even if you didn't teach anyone. The mere fact that you're doing what's right affects everyone. But that's a spiritual concept, which later on in the year we can revisit. Okay, we spent...